pretty good to go and every year ready.
We'll get started since we have such a big agenda. Are you ready?
Yeah. Did you want the microphone on? Sorry.
I know. Anyway. All right, let's go ahead and get started. I'm Chairman Thomas. I'll be conducting tonight. I'd like to welcome everybody to the North Ogden City Planning Commission meeting, September 7th, 2022. We'll begin our meeting with an invocation or a thought from Commissioner Webb, followed which being led by the Pledge of Allegiance by Commissioner Mason. We'll go to that point. Commissioner Webb.
Our Father in Heaven, we're grateful to be here together as a city. We're grateful for the many blessings that we have, this beautiful place that we live in. We ask that Thou wouldst bless us tonight to clearly understand one another and speak clearly and forward the things of each citizen and our wonderful city. And these things we say in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Please rise and repeat the Pledge of Allegiance with me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We'll make note that Commissioners Mancaro and Watson are excused tonight.
Commissioner Watson texted me and said he is running late. He may be here.
Okay. Our minutes consideration and action to approve the July 6, 2022 Planning Commission meeting minutes. Any corrections or adjustments need to be made? Entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the Planning Commission meeting for July 6, 2022.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the minutes. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right, our opening meeting statement. Before each agenda item begins, city staff will give a report. After the staff report, the item will be open for other speakers. The applicant will speak first and be allowed up to 10 minutes. Following the applicant, any other interested person will be allowed to speak for up to 3 minutes. The applicant has final rebuttal time of up to 5 minutes. Any materials that are displayed or referenced, e.g. pictures or written materials, are part of the record and must be left with the commission. Speakers are required to have signed in at the door and will state their name and address before beginning their remarks. If you agree with a previous speaker, then state your agreement to avoid repetitious remarks. Speakers shall address the commission from the podium or microphone and shall address all comments to the Planning Commission. Please silence your phones. All right. Any ex parte or conflicts tonight? We'll open up for a public comment at this time. If you have would like to address the Planning Commission on something that's not on the agenda, again, we have two public hearings. You'll have time to address us on those items, but if it's something else, we invite you to step up to the podium and address us at this time. All right, if not, we'll move on tonight. We only have legislative items. Item number 6, the Zone Text Amendment 2022-9, is a public hearing, consideration, and recommendation on a legislative amendment to revise the retaining wall standards to add clarifying language in Title 11, Grading and Drainage Standards. Presenter is Scott Hess, our planning director. Scott.
Thank you, members of the Planning Commission. I'm actually going to do just a brief intro and then invite Eric Kasperson, our city engineer, to get up and actually speak about this, because he's the one that's by ordinance in the review position for retaining walls. And then also would like to use the public hearing tonight to discuss another item that wasn't, it was sort of on the radar, but it wasn't explicitly requested to be on the agenda yet, and that's total height of retaining walls. And so we'll get into that after we have the discussion about this life safety issue. What the ordinance change that you're looking at in front of you would add clarifying language about geotechnical reports or other engineering reports that would be required alongside retaining walls that would appear to have a higher than normal life safety risk. And this would be, say, a tall wall in close proximity to sleeping quarters of a house or near a basement foundation where there's going to be bedrooms or occupied space. And in those cases, in order to, in some ways, reduce liability for the city, but also just make sure that the property owners know what they're buying and understand the liability of what they're buying, have additional engineering studies that say what would happen in a failure, or that there's these mitigating impacts that are these mitigating conditions that will reduce the chance of failure. Just because it's something that happens, not in all lots, but when you have a city on a hill like we have, there are some homes that are tucked into either the corner of or kind of like a U-shaped multi-tiered retaining wall that in a full failure situation would create potential for catastrophic failure or life loss. So with that kind of brief introduction, if it's okay with the planning commission, I invite Eric Casperson, city engineer, to come up and address us on anything else in that particular portion of the ordinance.
Okay. Eric?
Thanks, Planning Commission. I've been here for 6 months here with the city, and this is the first time I've been here in the Planning Commission and addressing you. So,
well, we've learned a lot of things on you so far.
Yeah, well, that's okay. Yeah, no, I appreciate the opportunity. As in my short time here, I have seen quite a few retaining walls that have, primarily the rockeries is what they call them, the rock walls that are stacked rocks. A lot of questions have come up on if this wall were to fail, what would happen? And so it kind of came up, this question of what other type of studies can we do to help homeowners and the city make better decisions on these walls, and how do we determine these? Right now, our rockery or rock wall height is 6 feet maximum, and so and that is pretty standard for other cities within our area. Right now, the reinforced concrete walls are 8 feet max height, and that's pretty standard for cities in our areas as well. I'm not sure if there's any questions that you would have.
There have to be non-conforming walls out there because they're hundreds.
Well, yeah. But remember, this has only been in place for 2 years, if you remember when we put
so,
it.
Yes. You know, think about Weber High, and then street above Weber High, my parents live there actually, and the neighbors have 20-foot rock walls. What's the solution for those people? Is it to terrace them? I mean, a rockery is 6 feet, then a terrace, and then a 6 foot.
Yes.
So that's it's not the total from bottom to top. It's
correct.
It's in any particular patch. Okay.
Right. Correct. Yeah. And the terrace, the code specifies that the terrace must meet the horizontal distance of the tallest wall. So in this case, it'd be 6 feet, and that's measured from the front of the bottom wall to the front of the upper wall. And so that's how that's measured.
There's that home up corner north on the right on the left-hand side. It's the decorated stuff stacked is more than 20 feet.
Yeah.
It's way over the top of the house. Yeah, I know he had that special engineer to be able to handle it, but would that still be allowed? I mean, he went through a lot of work for engineering on that.
Any wall at all that's over 4 feet has to have engineering in it. So yes, it would be required for engineering. But this would kind of brought up the question: is walls that large? What would it do if it were to fail? What damage would it?
Would you like to ask my parents? I can show pictures.
Yeah, and Scott, to answer your specific question about that particular wall is. Mm-hmm. In the current ordinance, no, you wouldn't be able to do that again. So the wall up there in Mason Cove, and there's two of them, one that's that one that's 20 plus feet, and then another that's about 17, made of an engineered block that's ready rock is one term for it, or one kind of product. And those would be 8 feet exposed is the maximum you could have. And again, you could do an 8-foot wall, an 8-foot separation, an 8-foot wall, with a limitation in the number of tiers that we have to three. So you can eat up some of that, you know, create a flat yard, but you're not going to get as flat a yard as you did in the old Mason Cove under the old standard, because you used to be able to go out as far as you could and then just drop a taller wall.
Right. That'd be pretty tough, because our houses, I could never terrace it that way and still build a house.
Yep. Yeah,
so this every time I look at, oh my heck, so I've talked to a guy knowing, so he did a lot of engineering stuff on that to get it so to hold. I don't know how much you pay, but engineers come in and designed it.
Yeah. And that'll be part of, I mean, there's a public hearing associated with this, so a planning commission should hold public hearing, but we can also discuss retaining wall heights now if you'd like to, or we can do it after the public hearing, whichever way you'd like.
Okay.
I think we have a public hearing. Does anybody have any questions for the engineer prior to?
Well, I think it doesn't become very difficult to define terracing. So, how many feet in does it have to go to be considered a terrace? Because these rockeries, as you call them, you can have a boulder and then, a boulder and then a boulder.
Well,
right?
It has to equal a 1-to-1. So if you go 6 feet tall, the next set of rocks needs to be back 6 feet from where you started the first row.
I see. Okay.
So at the end of the day,
Wow. It's
a 1-to-1 slope.
I see.
So in theory, if somebody puts the rocks at a 1-to-1 slope from bottom to top, is that not considered a wall anymore? Like without a terrace? Like if they just laid them?
At a 1-to-1?
Yeah, in theory, that's what I wonder.
Yeah, I believe it's a, yeah, because it would be more of an erosion control in that case, right? Anything steeper than
1-to-1. It has to still comply. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the terracing, you won't see 6 feet of separation here. This is what Eric was saying. So you'll have these rocks, and typically they bury the foot of this one in the dirt, and the foot of this one in the dirt. So you've got a 6-foot tall rockery, and the distance from the toe of this lower one to the toe of the upper wall needs to be at least a 6-foot width if that's a 6-foot height. And that's the same.
That graphic's super helpful.
Yeah, this is the same. If it were an engineered concrete wall, and this is backfilled, then you could have the same situation, but then you'd have the distance here actually does mimic the height less the width of the wall.
Right, in that case it would be 8 feet.
Yep.
So what's your opinion on that, on the concrete or engineered wall like that to keep that same distance? I've had some people ask me about that and say, well, if it's engineered, you can engineer a wall 20 feet tall and hold just fine. Why do we have to put a terrace?
Yeah.
So from the safety side of it, that isn't really null and void. So the reasoning behind it then is, I guess the same thing, saying, would we allow that distance to be shorter on an engineered wall if it's engineered to have a 4-foot terrace? It still has to have a terrace, but say, hey, we'll allow a 4-foot terrace if it's engineered in. Because then, as you know, the engineer, that bottom wall now has to be engineered as though it's one continuous wall, because
Right. It's
shorter than. So there's a lot more strength in it on an 8-foot wall that normally would be required, because it's technically accounting for the wall above it.
Correct. Yeah.
But if somebody wants to pay for that and say, well, I want a terrace to plant something, but I don't want to lose
all this distance,
24 feet of wall by the time I stack it all up.
And that comes to the discussion on retaining wall heights. So we have a current retaining wall in the city that's been recently constructed that they're going to have a difficult time meeting their 8-foot exposed. They're more like, call it 11 feet or so. So they need to bury 3 feet of wall. But that requires potentially either grading onto a neighboring property owner's property or coming up with some like sub-terrace idea or rocks or something. So the request from the homeowner is, can we revisit the total wall height standard, because 8 feet is likely. I wasn't here 2 years ago or when this went in, but it's mostly an aesthetic standard. I mean, you just said, you can engineer a really tall wall. UDOT does it all the time. If you're willing to pay for it, you can have a really tall sheer wall. But it comes down to, what does the city want? What limits impacts on neighboring property owners? What limits impacts on a hillside city with visibility issues of these very large, you know, walls, which can be kind of, they can stick out. I mean, you go from a former hillside to all of a sudden you have this big blank wall, and that's a discussion item for the Planning Commission. And we're not prepared with other cities or information other than, I think, 8 feet in looking around is pretty common for other cities surrounding us. We're not overly restrictive, but there's, if the city decides that they want something different for their wall standard, we could certainly review that. Okay.
Well, we can talk about that in the discussion part. I'll bring that up when we talk about it. Any other questions? Thanks, Eric.
Okay, thank you.
Let's go ahead and open the public hearing on Zone Text Amendment 2022-9, amending some clarifying language in Title 11 in the grading and drainage standards as it relates to the retaining walls. The public hearing is now open. If you'd like to address us, please step up to the mic, state your name and address. We'd love to hear from you.
Short, sorry, I don't aim it down. Anyways, Chris Bulver, I live up in 3739 North, 575 East. And as Scott was saying, I live below the house that has that retaining wall that we're talking about. But to stick with the agenda, I agree with what Eric and Scott were saying about adding that in. I would also say something, I mean, we'll talk about it a little bit more, but I think amending some of the other stuff inside that drainage and standard, especially the retaining wall part, I think would be effective to have some type of, I don't know if you want to call it, survey of the people that are directly impacted by that wall, if it does violate the AFIT rule. But just as a side note, I did note that the measurement of height is technically the finished grade below the wall and then the finished grade above the wall. So if you have a 12-foot wall, but he's only got the finished grade with grass on it, 4 feet below it, that technically still meets the requirement. So I don't know if that's the intent, but that would be technically allowed. So that's in H number one. Anyway, so did we want to go any further than that?
I have some questions for you. As someone who lives close to one of these, and I do too, and let me frame this by, as Scott was presenting this, I was having a hard time understanding why this is such an aesthetic issue. Because, you know, I generally view these things from far away. I'm assuming you live close to one of these.
I live right next to it.
Can you comment on the aesthetics and the impact that?
The aesthetics, myself, I have been wanting this wall since he mentioned that he was going to do a brick wall, because I've been in how many different houses in the North Ogden area and other places where the rock wall, the natural rock wall that he's talking about, has either failed, or I've had ground squirrels or vines that I can't get rid of, just a myriad of different cons that I just, but to answer your question directly, I love the wall, and I said build it as high as you want. I have a shed right next to it that I thought it'll look weird, but to be honest, the shed's there. I have natural oak trees that basically block, I'd say, I don't know what you say, Scott, but I'd say 50% of it, and then the next door neighbor, basically, she has stuff that's cemented in the ground, and she doesn't want to grade, so when she's like, put some bushes up, I'm good. So, you know, from the aesthetic pleasing point of it, it retains things that I don't want deer and wind and everything else breaking my trees. I thought I'd be, you know. So to me, from that standpoint, yes, it's aesthetics. I already have plans for Christmas lights on the wall. The homeowner that built it, I'm like, let's go.
So, and how high is this wall?
From my current grade, where I want to keep it if possible, it's 11 to 12, I think, is based on the peak height and the peak valley that I have underneath it. So
do you think there'd be a point at which it'd become offensively large?
Yeah, I mean, for honestly, there's a one that's just down the street on the new side where there's no trees or nothing, and to be honest, they kind of just rolled some rocks up onto it to make it look shorter, but, I mean, there's nothing in front of it. It's just a stark. So if you have nothing there, nothing blocking it, no little cool pine trees or something, yeah, I think it's aesthetically stark and naked. You're in an industrial park at that point. But if it blends in with the nature, to me, you know, my lot from the north end to the south end drops 40 feet. You have to have a retaining wall. So there's no way to get around it, or you're mowing up a 45-degree inclination. You know, it just doesn't work. So retaining walls at a certain height, 8 feet plus, you're going to see it as you go up into the cove. I mean, I'm sure they're already there, but...
Oh, they're there.
Yeah. I'm sure I've had a few minutes, but...
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Do we have anybody online?
I do have one person, but their hand isn't raised.
Okay.
I'll make a motion that we close the public hearing.
I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second to close the public hearing. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Public hearing is now closed. We move into our discussion, consideration, and recommendation portion of this item. Thoughts? Discussion? What I started to talk about in the concrete side of it is if it's an engineered wall or a concrete structure or even these Keystone ready rock blocks, I don't mind, I guess, to help the situations where you may have lots that are so steep that by the time, we've ran into some situations where the lots have already been designed, improved up there in one of my subdivisions. When we passed this, I said, you know, there's situations where by the time you step these rock walls back so far, you're going to be at the back door of the house.
Yeah.
And that's why the provision went in back then of, at the engineer's discretion, you can go higher or make some adjustments. So that was kind of a way to around some of these existing lot conditions to where going forward as developers, we hope all of them understand this and make the lots, if they're steep, they got to make them a little bit deeper so there's room to accommodate something like this. But my opinion on the concrete side of it is if it's engineered properly, and when I say that is allowing a reduction between that 8 foot of top wall to bottom of the next tier. So, you know, it would have to be engineered to where it, you know, it's like one, if they engineer a 16 foot tall wall as one, if you understand that bottom wall might be 12 inches thick with a double mat of rebar.
Yeah.
And then you, even though it's only 8 feet tall, because you're going to space and reduce that reduction to maybe 4 feet, as long as there is, I would say, you know, we put some kind of requirement in there that something, a vertical vegetation, you know, be planted in that. So when you look at that wall and it's stepped, you see something that's breaking it. And now that's kind of weird language to require, but...
No, I think it makes sense.
You're moving a little closer, so then it's like, because truthfully, you say you got three tiers and you're now really 8 feet because you've used vertical construction material, that becomes kind of a, you know, I mean, it's big enough you might be able to do a garden in there, but honestly, if it's south-facing, it'll just bake in that against the walls. So landscaping-wise, then people say, well, we'll just zero-scape between it. Well, then that doesn't accomplish the aesthetics looks of it. So if we had some language in there that says some type of vertical lip vegetation or something, so when you look at the wall from the aesthetic side of it, you see that break line. And then that would allow people, only in certain situations, to have it. You know, you could reduce as much as 8 feet on a 3 foot, on a three-tier wall of space if it was limited. And that's all down to engineering, so the structure of it would be fine. You know, it's engineered that way, and then we're also accomplishing the...
So, the counterpoint, tiers. And I think I agree with you, by the way, but, you know, we had our one testimonial here that said... I got to collect my thoughts here. What was I going to say? What was I trying to say? I got halfway into this.
Like, if you wanted one wall taller than 8 feet, and the neighbor doesn't care, and he encourages it, yeah, I want one 12-foot wall.
Well, my concern was that we encourage vegetation to grow, and then it's planted that way, and then the vegetation dies. You know, whatever, it's going to bake. Because I agree, that close to stone, your roots are going to bake and things like that. And then what's going to grow out of there is weeds. And that's where I was going with his testimonial, was that he didn't like the rocks because they're a hotbed for weeds. Well, are we just legislating then a hotbed for weeds? Do you know what I mean? Like fertile ground just for ugly?
Yeah, that's the hard thing. I think of that Keystone wall at Mason Cove, the 20-plus foot one that the house sits on. How much different would that look if it had even just a row of... When you looked at it, the wall looked still 20 feet tall, but every 8 feet there was a row of some kind of vegetation, all of a sudden it would dramatically look different. But
even if it were.
That's the question, does it matter? Like, are we legislating ugly or
right.
beauty? You know, some people might say the 20-foot wall looks better than a 20-foot tree. I don't know.
I don't know that it's bad that we encourage beauty.
I don't disagree. The problem I'm thinking here, that big tall wall like that, be terraced a little bit. Maintaining those terraces would be really difficult.
Yeah.
I'd find a way to get something down around there to keep it nice looking. The guy who has that one up there right now has helped so all that great. There's no way he's going to get down there to take care of it. It's really, really ugly. So I don't know. The answer's not real easy.
No. That's just, I mean, I only throw that out there to say, in certain situations, somebody says, hey, I don't have space to terrace this. I'm spending the money to do a concrete wall because I don't have the space between the house or whatever to do it. And so is that a caveat to reduce mm-hmm. that requirement?
Because you get up on those hillsides, that's going to be more and more common. You know, unless, like you said, you make they're required to make the lots deeper, allow for the terracing of a wall.
But that, I mean, that's just as far as the concrete. There's, and it's not the house that he... that we're talking about. There's another one up there, unless it is. Is yours on the side? Like, there's one I'm thinking of that's right behind a house, and it's like a 12-foot concrete wall.
Yeah, that's what we're in.
In Mason
Cove. Not in Stone Crest. Well, there's a Mason Cove, but there's one in...
It's west, I think, west of you.
Yeah, it's actually the road above, just as you go west.
Yep. Over the... And that one, you know, is the one I think of, like, you know, it's kind of one of those.
They didn't even finish it, that's the problem.
If I was living in the house below and somebody put that there, it'd be like, oh, man. But at the same time, you know, that's in and somebody buys the house below and the wall's already there. It's like, well, you know what you're
sure.
getting. But is it something that we, you know, because one side of me says, well, as long as... I don't care about beauty. As long as these life safety factors covered from engineering, why does it matter? You know, from one standpoint, you say, well, if you've got 15 feet of elevation drop on your yard and you're going to pay all this money to build a wall to get it flat, is it that critical? Like, are we in the business of saying, well, no, you can't block it. Your neighbor has to be able to look into your basement windows, not your upstairs windows. You know, that lives below you.
Yeah, I agree with you, but you know there's going to be people that they're going to own the house first.
Because then it goes back to the same thing. Then, mm-hmm. You build, if it's 20 feet tall, it's going to be 20 feet away from property line. You know, like we do on the accessory buildings.
Yeah.
And so it's...
Well, I keep thinking those homes up in Mason Cove, they, you know, some of them, the home itself is like a giant retaining wall, right? The home's coming down into a walkout basement or even a non-walkout basement that's two stories below the main level because the you know, the property was graded that way or that just that steep. So what's the difference between the walls of the house and a retaining wall? I'm not seeing.
I'd say some of the houses sit on the retaining wall.
Well, and hopefully the idea with having an ordinance like this is when those subdivisions on steep areas like that get developed, they're not just 12,000-foot lots crammed in there because the engineer who drew it looked good on flat ground, and then you put it on slope and all of a sudden, oh, this doesn't work. You know, that thought has to go into mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. That one was done beforehand, and, you know, I mean, truthfully, you look at that, there shouldn't be two lots between the top road and the bottom road. It should be one. So yeah. There's the space right. to do this. Brandon?
One difference.
Can you step up to the mic, please?
You know, one difference between a home and a retaining wall is that with a home, people living in it have a much higher incentive to make it look attractive versus a retaining wall because, A, it's not integral to their structure and their dwelling and there's not that same pride of ownership, but also because they don't look at it. If it's a retaining wall on their property, they're not the one that has to look at it. The neighbor does. And so there's a much lower incentive to make it attractive compared to a home is the thought that just occurred to me. So anyway.
Yeah, so that's if it's an aesthetic thing that we're trying to govern, then we figure out how to do that. Because I agree, it's...
Well, I don't think aesthetics should be our main priority, but I do think it needs some consideration because I can just see the day when we're sitting here and it's not on the agenda and someone comes and they ask for time And, you know, and I feel bad that they got to this point, but they're so upset that their neighbor's building this giant brick wall. And they're going to have to look at this wall instead of the mountain that they used to look at. And I know it's not on their property. I know all that. But, I mean, I think we do need to respect that interest a little bit. You know, it's the same as when we get people coming here and say, oh, my neighbor's building a barn, and I hate it. And I can think of a neighborhood that's been in here, right? It's the same thing. It's a giant piece of metal that I have to look at now. And that's, and you know, we respected that aesthetics. So I don't think it should be our main thing.
It goes back to, like, obviously being a builder and a developer, how many times I hear people say, well, I don't want a house right there. I've lived here and looked at that field for how long?
Certainly.
And now a house is going to block my view. I always say, well, you can buy the lot before somebody builds on the house, builds a house on it, if you want to protect that view.
Certainly.
You know, and to some extent, you know, it's not necessarily the city's responsibility to make sure everybody has a wonderful view out of their property, you know, to onto other people, you know, saying, hey, I live on this lot, and now there's a house there that blocks my view of Ben Lomond. City, why did you approve that subdivision?
Yeah, completely agree with you.
But so how do we govern that? And that's where it comes down to, you know, the aesthetics and height, Scott.
And we don't, we really don't regulate aesthetics of these things. It's just 8 foot is the height that engineered, and Mr. Pulver indicated this lot to the west of this subdivision, it's Northview Estates, is where this other subdivision is, has what appears to be an unfinished wall, but we don't have a definition of what a finished wall is. So this is a reinforced concrete wall where they removed the forming off of it and knocked the metal ties that tie the foundation forms, and it's just a rock, it's just a concrete wall. And so they didn't stucco it, they didn't clad it in anything, it just is raw concrete. And we don't have a term of finished versus unfinished, but that wall would likely look better stuccoed or clad to match the house in some way, or
had Christmas lights.
You know, Christmas lights. Brandon Bell had suggested that you have to paint the scenery that you're blocking on the wall. It's just like a one-to-one. But speaking with the property owner of this wall, there were some suggestions that were knocked around, and maybe one of them is exceptions to go higher if you do like the plus one aesthetics treatment to it. You tier it in a way that you can plant vertical evergreen hedges. I know that it gives, I'm not an engineer, but it gives me pause to think about watering on top of some of those terraced walls, just because the last thing you really want is water infiltration behind a retaining wall.
Yeah.
But it would be providing some sort of exterior finishing, but then again, you're legislating ugly, because what some people might think of, I'm going to build a modern house, and I'm going to clad this thing in a way that I'm going to put plywood on the inside of my form, so when I build this off, it's, you know, imprinted with plywood. Like, to them, that might be the best thing ever. Like, they just finished their concrete wall into someone else. They might think it looks unfinished, and so I want to figure out if there's a way to say, yes, this is the right standard for the city, or a taller wall is the right standard for the city, without putting the staff in a position of having to, you know, subjectively decide what is or isn't meeting these ordinance requirements from an aesthetic standpoint.
Okay, so we've got two things here we're considering. One is the text amendment that you're proposing for this, right, which I think I'm in favor of, doesn't it? It just adds additional engineering. Right, I don't have any objection to that. The second thing is, you've asked us to look at is height, right? And that one seems a little more nebulous, but I don't know. Do we feel good about the text amendment that's in there? I do myself, and I don't see any reason why I wouldn't recommend that move on.
And to avoid posting another public hearing notice, and we can repost as a way to like notify on Facebook that we're still having this conversation, but it's in the same Title 11 grading and drainage standards where our wall heights and tiering and all of that other, those elements are. Staff's recommendation at this point would be to postpone a decision on this ordinance and roll it all together and bring it all together. Because there's nothing pressing about this particular ordinance. This is a hopeful catch for the next one of these that we have where you get a rockery that's built around and it surrounds a house. But the height one is a bit more of a, you know, we've had a request, and so we want to jump on that. I don't want it to get delayed or bumped a meeting because of reposting requirements.
Okay.
I'm not sure I'm following you. So,
if we postpone this item, we can just roll our additional elements into this item and come back to you in 2 weeks with a staff report.
And that way it goes once to the city council.
Correct.
Yep. I'd be in favor of tabling that.
Yeah, I think that works well. I would just say while you're looking at that, maybe, because I know in the ordinance it still gives the city engineer the ability to make exceptions or judgments on, and maybe it is just including in there some parameters, so there's some expectation. So it's not on Eric's shoulders that if he comes back and says, well, I'll tell you what, I'll allow you to come have a 4 foot spacing. If you engineer that wall as one continuous wall, I'll reduce your tiers to 4 feet on a concrete wall. And then, you know, it's like he just made that up or something. But if there's some kind of language in there at least that's saying these are some options for variances upon the city's, with the city engineer's approval, then there's at least some level of expectation, so it's not necessarily all on his shoulders that people will be mad or thankful that he decided, or you let this guy do that, why can't I? You know, somewhere that, because I don't like when we have just saying, oh, it's up to the engineer, like there can be under certain circumstances, based on the engineer's approval, you can do pretty much anything you want, right? Based on what the engineer is going to approve. If there's at least some parameters of level of expectation that somebody goes in and says, well, if I want a variance from this from the engineer, I'm going to be expected to put twice as much effort into this wall, but there is a way to maybe not do it the standard. So at least there's some level of expectation. Eric?
Yes, exactly, and that's what's kind of come up, that's what brought this up, is that our walls out there that I've looked at that exceed the 6 foot and violate the terracing ordinance. But it had a caveat, there was additional engineering, but it didn't say what it was. And so that's what I wanted to add this, to give some clarification on what we could require, because this is a pretty extensive ask.
Yeah, and I would prefer it be, you know, any additional engineering or whatever that you recommend, that you say, well, do this, that's going to fall on an outside engineer that's stamping this, and it's not your, oh, if you do it this way, it's okay. If you do it this way and an engineer stamps it, I'll accept it.
Yeah. Correct.
So that we don't have the city's liability, or it's your, well, I'll let you do this if this, you know, saying, well, if you switch to 4 feet and do all these things, some engineer has to sign off on it and stamp it and say that's acceptable, but I'm willing to accept that if you get it. So that way it's not on you or the city.
The only caveat I would add to that is that we do have engineers who don't always look at the things they stamp. Not obviously not Eric.
Yeah.
But, and then the other thing we've seen is we've run into situations where there's so many situations.
Well, but
things
I think
aren't built the way they're engineered, so the engineer changes their plans. Like honestly, the 8 foot engineered system is much more comfortable than the other, because what we end up with is an engineer says, "Oh yeah, no, that'll hold. Yeah, yeah. 8 feet rocks, those will hold."
Well, it's also not precisely measured, right? Don't they just put those rocks in there with a backhoe, and it's as good as the guy who put it in there.
We've seen one where the engineer included so many caveats that no one would ever be able to go after their insurance if the wall failed. So they said,
again, talk to my parents.
This wall needs to be inspected monthly. We're not gonna basically anything that you didn't do that was on the list of things. Like if you see any shifting, you need to call us immediately so we can re-engineer and. Zero liability as soon as that, you know, as soon as that first month goes by.
Well, and I think that it's important that we put, if it is outside engineer, it's not just because an outside engineer stamps something, then Eric and city accepts it. It's, yeah, that's a requirement, but it's still up to the city whether they're willing to accept that or not. Basically. And so then that way it's not, you know, I know some walls that's that way. Well, go get an engineer now that it's already built, then yeah. You go get, I know a couple of them, go get them, sign it, stamp it. Yeah, those things aren't going to move. And most likely they're not. I mean, especially a lot of places up there, I mean, I've had a vertical wall up there on the hill for 2 years and it hasn't moved. And it doesn't have anything by it.
I talk to my parents.
Now, you know, so, I mean, ultimately it's the underground, the underlying soil that's what it's going to do.
Yeah.
And so...
And you also never know until people start adding water to the top.
That's what, my dad did.
And so that's why my point is that the engineered walls, I mean, that if it's concrete or this engineered block, I mean, they're typically backfilling with gravel and drains and stuff. And a lot of these rockery walls don't have that, or it's not installed to the same level of expertise because they're cheap. Some people think they're better looking, so there's like all these trade-offs.
Yeah, so when something like that, when we say we're not going to bend on a boulder wall and reduce the terracing and all that, even if an engineer signs off because of that exact reason. It's a lot easier to govern and inspect a horizontal concrete or keystone wall to make sure it's built per spec than a boulder wall.
Right. And we talked about even saying in certain areas of a lot where if it collapses, it's not going to hit a neighboring structure or the house that, you know, that it's there to retain from, then maybe those can be taller because the failure isn't a life issue like the one next to your parents. It didn't go into anybody's house.
Not next to, in their backyard.
Yeah. But it just went down the hill, right?
Yeah.
And so there wasn't a risk of life and death.
Or it's going to collapse and fall out into the street.
Yeah. But there's one house that I think, Scott, you said, where it's seriously surrounded by rock walls, and if they collapse, they're going into the basement windows.
Yes. And the living and the second, or I guess the ground floor bedrooms as well. Yeah. And it's actually just west of your home that you're building there.
So yeah, I know the
wall.
I watched the guy build it, and I'm like, no.
And that's why we thought, well, maybe that's a situation where you could go taller, is there's no risk, because it's not in the path of anything if something collapses. But it's kind of, a lot of...
Yeah,
if there's no living space
within a 2-to-1 slope from the wall, you're allowed a little bit of higher, so you're allowing some fallout. But that's, again... Yeah. Any of these have to be provisions that would be...
And then just because the rocks themselves don't fall into anything doesn't mean the structures above it are then stable. So my parents, they have this 30-foot rock wall. They build out a boulder wall like this. It was there for about 10 years, and my dad had put all the downspouts into one common spot in the backyard. And I think that's what... It rained for 4 days, one September. And in the middle of the night, my parents' house started shaking, and their backyard just sloughed downwards, but so it didn't hit anything, and there was nothing to hit. But they had to do a lot of stress about, is the house still stable, right? Because now their backyard is 20, 30 feet less and closer to the house. So I don't think that's anything we could really look at. Is, you know, just because it doesn't hit anything, you're still changing. If it falls, you're changing things upstream from it as well.
The engineered walls have a lot of advantages. You know, drains, all that kind of stuff. But also those rockeries, if they're not in their backyard, people just let weeds go in them. Whereas the engineered wall, it's a lot less likely to have weeds there.
True. There's not a perfect answer. Yeah. So.
But does that give enough direction? Because I'm inclined to table this for the purposes of having the public hearing, having the public know that we want to talk about rock wall height. Okay. Does that give you enough direction to come back with something?
Yeah, I think we'll look at other cities' ordinances, and we'll do what we've done in the past with something like a sign ordinance or anything else that is there isn't one right answer for, and produce a handful of different ordinances, and this is we'll have staff recommendation.
And I'm not opposed to, you know, a gentleman here has said, you know, he's fine with 12-foot wall, but he likes it. I'm not opposed if that's one of the variances to do a vertical engineered wall, is if anybody within a certain touching it or whatever of property all says, yeah, that's fine, and accepts it. Now, granted, they move and the next person might not like it, but we can't control that, because I'm not opposed to if somebody says, well, I'm fine with that. That actually, I would rather have that than a terraced retaining wall there.
I hate that legislation like that, because... You know, I'm interested in keeping good neighbors. So your neighbor comes and knocks on your door and says, hey, I want to build this whatever, this wall, and you know your wife hates it, and you kind of hate it. And then again, you got to look at this guy in the face and see him every day, maybe, for the next 20 years. And so you're probably going to be more inclined to say, yeah, I'm okay with that, you know, and, when you're really not. And so I just don't know if that really, I'd just rather see good legislation rather than something like that. I don't know what that looks like, though. I don't know how to write that.
I think that's an oxymoron there. Good legislation.
Well, yeah. But I think you understand the situation I'm posing.
I do.
Someone,
I do.
I've signed petitions, but I don't necessarily agree
about
with
that with fences and on top of retaining wall.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to do a lot of things because someone's standing on looking you in the face. You're going to say, yeah. And then you're going to go get an ulcer because you stress about it so much.
Well, we closed the public hearing as well.
We did close the public hearing. Yeah, that was motioned by Commissioner Lund.
I made the motion.
Seconded by Commissioner Barker. I would move that we table this item for the next meeting. Not the next meeting, excuse me, for a future meeting when we can have legislation.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to table for future meeting when additional items can be addressed. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
I would encourage the gentleman that gave us public comment too that your comments were recorded and they can be referenced at our next meeting, or you're welcome to attend as well and repeat them as well. Okay. So I just don't want you to think you was all for naught tonight.
All right. Item number 7, Zone Text Amendment 2022-10. This is a public hearing and consideration recommendation on a legislative amendment to update the public works standards adopted by ordinance and referenced in North Island City Code Zoning Code Title 11. Scott Hess. Scott?
Okay, so again, I'm going to do a brief introduction and then ask Eric to help us present this one. A few years ago, the state legislature changed the requirements for cities on public work standards specifically to have them be adopted by ordinance. So while this isn't something that's specifically in the Title 11 zoning code, these public work standards filter down through all of our subdivision requirements and other site plan requirements for all manner of things, to include road right-of-way width, sidewalk width, park strips, street light requirements, and then all of your underground utilities are all specified in the public work standards. Just as an aside, in the past, you had some of these public work standards that would be changed administratively based on whatever city code they were in, and I think there was some pushback at the state legislature there of these kind of ever-changing standards. So the requirement now is that these are adopted by ordinance, and because they impact Title 11, we use this process to hold a public hearing and hear the updates on the public hearing standard or the public work standards, and then roll them forward to City Council, who ultimately adopts them, even though not everything in here impacts or affects our zoning and Title 11 code. So with that, these standards here are some clarification. Actually, Eric provided me with the language in the staff report that we have right-of-way widths for minor roads, residential minor roads, and for major arterials. We have an approved materials sheet on the first sheet of each utility. I think one of the things we tried to do there was take out proprietary named items, so it's not like we have to buy Joe's light. We can buy a light that matches this standard. And so I think that's a little easier for people when they go through, and they might use a different vendor than we've typically used, but if it meets the standard, then that works. We also don't want to get into proprietary, like we're stuck in one specific type of underground utility pipe or connection or manhole or whatever else. We have some changes to the low impact design standards, clarifying what state requirements are. We do have one mismatch now, so site triangle standards in the public works standards have been changed, and I'll draw what the change is, and we'll be bringing back Title 11 in the fencing standards specifically, is where it is called out, but the site triangle change has happened, and when Eric's presenting, I'll indicate that. And otherwise, you know, nothing that's really groundbreaking. These are just kind of some rolling changes that Lauren was working on that Eric's now picked up and had a chance to review, and we need to get rolled in and updated so that everybody's looking at the same sheet when we're doing these new developments. Eric?
Thanks very much. So as time changed, and new developments, new products come online. I like to try to stay up to date, keep our standards and processes so that we are current. These standards are the Bible, right, that we hold the developers and everything to. And from my point of view, what I look at is North Ogden City and what's the best for them, for the city itself. We're going to have to maintain this for the next 100 years plus, right? And so we're looking to do the best that we can and get the best product that we can. Scott referenced the LID requirements, and in connection with that, one of the major components of that, or to help with that, is the mountain road cross section standardization on that. When I got here, it seemed like that mountain road, we weren't sure what we wanted it to be. And so
you're saying you've answered that question?
I'm not sure about that, but we put it on some sort of sheet so that I know one proposal was to put islands in the center of the kind of median islands in the center of the roadway, and so this cross section does not have that in it. It is just basically an 80-foot cross section with a 6-foot trail on the north and east side, and bike lanes and 11-foot travel lanes. The site triangles that Scott mentioned is a 30 foot by 100 foot triangle, and I think you've kind of drawn it there.
Yeah. So our current standard is a 40 foot 40 foot, and it's out in the it runs on property line, so it's more restrictive than I've drawn it actually, because call this the total right-of-way line. Your right-of-way line, no, this is right, but out here somewhere would be the curb and gutter that would run. And so that 40 feet ends up being more like 45, 49, something like that, depending on where you're at each direction. And that can be really impacting for people. So the new standard is a 30 by 100 from each direction, and then it's this area here that's the clear view triangle that you'd have to have a reduced, an increased visibility fence that we talked about, or bushes that are trimmed to 24 inches or below, or over 7 feet for trees. So you'd have to keep that open area there as you come up to an intersection.
Right.
So, and I thought we adopted those triangles already.
We have a triangle. It's this one though.
As I remember doing that one with Lauren. I thought we already adopted it.
I think it's been in our public works standards. It just didn't ever make it to Title 11.
It's not in the code.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was never formalized through this process. It was something that we've let people adopt and use when they're doing commercial stuff.
Okay.
This is the first time it's actually in the standards. Yeah. We have it in there.
So you've been letting people do it. Never mind.
So we adopted a standard that what we really adopted was a rule change that said we can use UDOT standard on UDOT roads, which is where it's been affecting. Think of the Cherry Springs Villas. Those retaining walls are much closer, but they match the picture on the left, not the picture on the right. And then we said we'd come back with a recommendation for all the rest of the residential, and this is that recommendation.
Okay. Citywide. I do remember beating this up and going all over it, and I was very in favor of the new.
I'm glad to clarify that it got in. Yeah. Citywide.
Yeah. Okay. Well, one of the big things that we've added, and Scott mentioned about the different products, and on at the beginning of every utility sheet, for instance, the water, it was very cumbersome to have the names and everything within the standard sheet itself, so we've taken those out, we've separated it and made it into its own sheet so that the contractors are able to see it much, much more clear. So, and like Scott said, it's an equivalent, so the contractor or developer can propose a different product as long as it meets the specs, and we consider it an equivalent.
So on that, have you written it in the way, like what I would hate to see for some things, like on water fitting, like fire hydrants,
I'd hate the city to have three different kinds of spare parts because we now have three different kinds of fire hydrants.
Right.
You know, if it's just, hey, we're using a Mueller hydrant, then that, you don't want to name that spec, but some places I think that's okay. Like,
yes,
we as a city don't want to have spare, you know, Watrous and Mueller and different hydrants in case somebody hits one. It's like,
right,
we just want spare parts for one, but worst guys know how to fix one of them. Mm-hmm. So,
yes,
is it and still that way?
It then? Is. Oh, okay. Yeah, and in that case, like yeah, if we have Mueller, because, yeah, you're exactly right. We don't want to have 10 different fire hydrants that we've got to go match that one with that, yeah, that specific brand. Yeah, so it's still written that way, and it still kind of leaves the door open for them to present maybe new ideas, that maybe a new product that we haven't used before that maybe we'd like to try. It does leave the door open for that. But it ultimately lies with Public Works to make that determination.
Okay.
So, that's all that I have. So.
Okay, any questions? Thank you.
Thanks.
Let's go ahead and open the public hearing for Zone Text Amendment 2022-10. Consideration and recommendation to update the public works standards adopted by ordinance and reference North Ogden City Zoning Code Title 11. Public hearing is now open. If you'd like to address us, please step up to the mic and state your name and address.
Happened to be the same thing that I've been dealing with some other times. But anyways, Chris Pulver, 3739 North, 575 East. So I guess the question I had is, because I was reviewing it and I forgot to look at to see if there was a variance to that, because on Hillside, because flat surface, agree 100%, gun hemp, there's a couple of locations that I have to literally creep into the intersection to look past a fence. So I agree on a flat surface that 2 feet is almost too much sometimes. But on an angled corner, like I said, I have a 40-foot drop in my corner lot. If there is no provision to variance that, I do have pictures if you guys wanted to see that, but if there isn't, then I would propose to...
I'd be interested in seeing your pictures. You do have to leave them with us,
yes,
if you...
Nope, I don't have a problem.
So.
Is that...
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
I think I only have three, so...
That's okay.
For sure.
So they stay with us and they become, yeah, part of the written record.
And so basically it was just, you know, because I had gone through, I can't even remember who it was back in the day, when I created this and I, you know, I kind of showed them pictures. I said, you know, 2 feet, you know, even if it's 40-40 or 30-3100, I kind of just did a really quick and dirty. It looks like I spent a long time when I did it. But, and I tried to take pictures from the height of a driver, you know, this tall and whatever, looking out a window to try to see if there was any blockage from, you know, so if you see that curved, you know, I kind of blended it in, but it's 2 feet tall in that 30-30 or 40-40 thing, and it doesn't block anything because of the height and elevation of all of the different things in the, so I guess the question is that something in the future, a variance that, you know, someone that's building that wall would have to, or can, enhance, because if they have to meet that, then, you know, then all of a sudden I'd have a little goofy spot on that I'd have to kill my retaining wall to do that. So, anyway,
I can answer that just from a practical standpoint. The answer is no, just because we don't really have an out in the ordinance.
Okay.
If your wall is under 4 feet and it wasn't engineered and the city didn't review it, you're at a pretty low likelihood that the city will come in and say, you know, knock on the door and say, property owner, you need to remove this from this particular area. And that's the same for vegetation in most cases. We're a pretty reactive code enforcement city where we don't have the staff to be, you know, driving around and proactively finding work to do. There's plenty that just seems to find its way to us. So if you're building a fence, you know, fences are done by land use permit, we'll have those reviewed each time. And we discussed this a lot. When you're on the coming up a hillside, 2 feet sometimes can be too tall. And when you're on the coming down a hill,
right,
2 feet might not be enough height to allow somebody to grow a set of blocks with bushes or something. So it's a difficult issue to solve in clearly writing code for it. So I agree. But there's no out in the code right now. No.
Okay, but I mean, if someone really wanted to do it, they could come here and get, I don't know, variance, what you call it, but... approval, or how does that work?
So you could apply for a variance. You'd have to show how your lot is unique and you have an essential property right pulled away from you. So variance law in Utah is really clearly specified by state code. You could come in if you were a property owner and do this process, which is suggest a zoning text amendment that might clarify that issue. To say if I'm a downhill lot on an X percent of slope and I can show that I'm limiting impact, I can have something 4 feet tall. And that we have had. We've had specific case kind of zoning stuff written in, but we wait until someone brings those cases because there's just far too many individual elements that we don't.
Yeah, and honestly, when you're writing your little thing, because I thought it was the whole 100 feet in that whole triangle you couldn't have, and so, I mean, you can see my wall gets really big towards the
bottom. No, it's just the cross piece.
Yeah, and so that's,
and when you have an intersection, it all depends on, like what Scott's saying, is you're coming in, the drawing he has there, if this was across the street from you on, was it 3725, that other road goes down.
Yep.
So that lot right there, you could in theory say, well, we're going to take 2 feet up, 2 foot of height off the 3725 measurement and see, but not be so concerned about the 2 feet of height on the 575.
Yeah.
But it's only for eastbound traffic. All of a sudden now westbound.
Yeah, I guess.
And so like your place, if you're coming down the hill where you're at looking to the right, well, oncoming traffic is across the street. It's not, right at you, so it changes the scenario.
My concern is the people across must, they have decided, well, I don't even know it was in the planning, but they're wanting a pool on the south side, and I'm like, well, good heavens, how is that going to, this whole thing, I don't know how they're going to do it, but, hats off to them.
That's a whole other thing.
And there's,
yeah.
There's like the vertical 2 foot measurement, and then there's the fixed or static, like horizontal 2 foot measurement, right?
Yep.
And
okay.
So this one, something could actually potentially get taller at a certain point, and it's case by case. We enforce this in fences because fences they're going to be there, they're going to be fixed. And the only cases I've ever seen where we've gone in and asked for vegetation removed is when there's been a known conflict area. So it's like right-hand turns onto a high-speed corridor from a blind corner, and we've had rear endings happen there. In those cases, code enforcement has gone out, and we've either trimmed bushes for property owners who may not have financial means to do it, or we have removed vegetation in those cases. Otherwise, it's a standard that it's there for liability protection and other things for you as a property owner, really, too. But it's not one that we end up enforcing it on a daily
So
basis.
At the bottom of 1050 East, are you familiar with that road?
Yes.
And 2600, right across the street from Scott's house. The city has gone in that corner, that northeast corner, the city has gone in and trimmed those trees because that's a scenario. You're sitting down heading south on that trying to look to the east. Oncoming traffic, and the trees were growing out in that triangle so tall that you couldn't see cars. So they've trimmed. So that in that case, that's where, like what he's saying, is a real world example where we've done it.
There's so much.
So many intersections where it's not.
And we're still too tall.
Yeah.
But
in low speed residential intersections, it's typically less of an issue than if you're a north south entering onto a Loman View or Pleasant View Drive. In those cases, we take it. It's just a more serious matter. You've got a speed differential there that would kill somebody as opposed to a fender bender.
Okay, I just more of a, that whole, when once you find that in, I'm like, but I already brought pictures of that.
I think that's helpful, really. I mean, okay. Yeah. That's super helpful to see it.
Okay, cool. That was it.
Any other comments? Anything online?
No.
I propose we close
the public hearing.
Second.
We got a motion and a second to close the public hearing. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right, discussion, recommendation?
To me, these cleanup items are like slam dunks. Like, I don't see any reason to oppose anything in there. And the side triangle was beat up in here extensively.
Yeah,
and
we've already.
So I'm comfortable moving forward without much discussion. Myself.
Is that a motion?
That is a motion.
Was that a motion?
It is going to be. We can always discuss my motion. So I move that we recommend positive recommendation to the City Council for items ETA 22 or 2022-10.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? Commissioner Lund?
Yes.
Commissioner Barker?
Yes.
Commissioner Webb?
Yes.
Commissioner Mason?
Yes.
And I vote yes. All right. Now we'll open up for public comments. If there's anything you'd like to address the Planning Commission with, please do so at this time.
It wasn't really something. I don't know if John looks at his email during this, but I did send him a picture in his email, but just to show.
Just get your name one more time for the public record.
Chris Bulger. Do you want the address too?
I don't think we need that again.
You don't want it a third time. But anyway, I sent a picture of what the holiday lights will look like, and so you won't even think about that wall. The wall goes right directly behind the trees back there, so you won't even see it.
Just see them year round.
What's that?
Just leave the holiday.
Well, now you've changed your. Around. Now you've changed the. The traffic pattern in your neighborhood to a high-use road in December, so now we may have to enforce a different...
And the wife wants more light, so don't ask me how.
Thank you. Any other public comments? All right, remarks from Planning Commission.
Oh, I've been waiting for this.
Aside from painting roads.
Yeah.
Okay, I am.
No, just kidding. Just kidding.
I'm furious that the road striping in North Ogden was not marked, and I drove my new pickup through that yellow paint. And I know it happened. If it happened to me, it happened to other people. I'd love you guys to see my.
My wife's got white paint down the side of her car.
Was it marked?
I don't know. I didn't ask. After I saw yours, I'm like, well, it's not that bad.
I did. Read on one of the things that maybe like Vaseline, leave it on, might actually cause it to pop off.
Well,
I know. Hopefully they're working on it because we did have one more person call and complain about the same incident.
Yeah, I think we need to lean on that company because there was no way. So I took a left onto Washington Boulevard. There was some traffic up ahead of me. They were all passing something to the left. I got in the center lane on Washington Boulevard to also pass on the left. And by that time, I had driven through a couple hundred yards of yellow paint, and it splattered all over my pickup. And that company tried telling me that they were trying to flag me down or something, and there is no way. And I have evidence. I have a testimonial from someone who witnessed it that there was no cones or anything. So.
And you said they were shooting white paint.
They were shooting white paint out the right of their paint truck, and I passed them to the left like the other cars were doing. I didn't know it was a paint truck at this point because there's Suburbans and stuff in front of me. They got to be more careful with that. That's that was like 9 o'clock in the morning, Washington Boulevard, and there was.
Well, they learned because later that day they were putting cones out on their lines.
Yeah, they're gonna learn.
Ran your truck turned yellow.
So, yeah. Anyway, thank you. Oh, you've not heard the end of this. Oh, you've not heard the end of this.
The company hasn't heard the end of it either, I'm sure.
Any other comments? Scott, anything from you?
Tomorrow and Friday is the Utah APA conference, and I neglected to invite you guys to the local APA conference, so I apologize for that. We do have budget available if you find yourself available tomorrow or Friday if you want to go down to Thanksgiving Point. Otherwise, we'll have the spring conference, which we have taken you guys to. There's, I'll have to double check the budget if there's out of state or out of area budget for all of the commissioners, but it seems like we have a pretty decent Planning Commission budget for Utah APA. Another option is...
Where's the Utah APA at?
So it's at Thanksgiving Point for... Tomorrow and Friday, yeah.
I've attended that in the fall in the past and found it pretty helpful.
Yeah, it's really
good. It was down in Salt Lake at the time.
Yeah, it's really good. So Brandon Kai and myself will be there. I'm presenting in two sessions about legislative items. And then come springtime, it's typically... March or April, southern Utah somewhere, so it's warm and we can look at that as well. There's also Utah League of Cities and Towns Is that conference over, Brandon? So there's
no.
So there's ULCT conference coming up. That's another one that we could potentially shift some of our budget over if you were interested in attending. That one's geared a little bit more towards policymakers, so really planning commission and city council members, as well as elected officials, or the Utah Land Use Institute, if you're real interested in land use law, is an excellent one to go to, and that you're all in the recommending policymaker space. So it's, you know, we have a few training opportunities coming up. Those would all count for your planning commission training, which is also something that we'll need to focus on between now and the end of the year, just to get a couple more hours of planning commissioner training.
Let's see, I think the only person that wasn't here was Johnson, but the most beneficial training I've had since I've been on the Planning Commission for like 6 years or 5 years or whatever was the time in Moab when we had the conference, and then we had the individual session where we got to interact a little more informally with
Meg
Ryan, that's right, not the celebrity, but I found that super, super beneficial, and just would encourage people if there's a possibility for that would be great.
The ULCT conference does have a day that's specific to planning, so that's also one thing to consider.
I'm also suggesting that if we were to do something like that, like if it were in Southern Utah and you go, that we budget some time in the evening or something for additional training, make the most of the time, and get something like that we had with Meg Ryan again. I thought that was great. That's just a suggestion.
I was just going to say that there is a provision that if you attend enough of these meetings, yeah, then you get an extra hour of training. Yeah. My guess is most of you have probably met that.
Yeah.
But so that helps. We still just have to make sure we take the box by the end of the... Mm-hmm.
But the spring would be for next year, though.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Yeah. Next calendar year. That's all I have.
Okay. John, anything from you?
Nothing extra other than, you know, we are doing a lot of things in the city to try and shift how far we're looking forward. So we, you know, Brandon and Scott have been spending a lot of time on how to make sure that you all get involved in that discussion on how we grow. Because in theory, if you look at the numbers, we're supposed to be built out in like 15 years. That's not a long time.
Well, speaking of that, you know, I filled out the information on that Scott had sent me for
the regional transportation
plan. Is there any results of that, or
so that's
when is the timeline of that?
Yeah, it's a 4-year process. So we're like a snippet in time right now. So I followed back up with WFRC staff on comments that were put on that plan. So thank you for putting comments. I had a few specific ones. There's a crossing over here, Pleasant View Drive and Washington Boulevard, that is has potential to be closed, and that's a major school crossing right there at just where we've limited the left-hand turn, basically. And then there were some comments and questions about Monroe Boulevard and Mountain Road that were in there, and I've addressed those with them. So you'll see they're at the draft phased needs, they're phasing of the plan. So what they do is they phase from a needs standpoint, which means this is when we think we want this or when we think the growth will come in. And then they take all the money that they expect to get from state and federal and local resources and put a fiscally constrained needs list together. Usually what happens for communities like North Ogden, where we're, you know, we don't have a front runner, we don't have I-15 access, and we're kind of shoulder cities as far as growth goes, is that it often bumps our projects up the list. That the money from a fiscally constrained standpoint ends up in the high growth, missing connectivity areas and some of those shoulder areas, just kind of
like, do you know where I had thought at one time we were very close on getting funding for Mountain Road to connect from Pleasant View to 450 East?
Yeah, so
Pleasant View was supposed to get their funding to build it.
And it seems like that's a phase two, so that's at least 10 years out, but between 10 and 20. So the WFRC's long-range plan is 30 years, and it's in three chunks of 10-year time frame. So phase one is the next 10 years. And then it seems like that's a phase two project, which for phase two projects, that seems really far away. But as far as the planning goes, from like an engineering standpoint or starting to apply for money, that's just a few years away from starting to apply. Because if you get one of those TIP grants or State Transportation Improvement Program monies, like what built Washington Boulevard, they applied for that 6 years before they built it. So you got to be thinking way ahead. In fact, I worked at WFRC and I met with Lauren and Dave and Mayor Taylor at the time, and John was probably out there, and we were standing on this, you know, two-lane road with a center cross section. I remember standing there at the church and thinking, this road's going to be awful close to that white house, and turns out it sure was, and we ended up buying that house and tearing it down. But those are six-year-out funds. So if you're a Phase 2 project and you're a today WFRC plan, you're within 3 or 4 years from beginning to apply for those dollars. So we could see that road, that connection go in sooner than later.
Do you know where Pleasant View stands on? Because they got funding to acquire right away.
Yeah.
But as far as construction is concerned?
It seemed like they had a project that was going in that was going to impact the east-west connection on that roadway, and I don't know where that stands.
They got a request to WACOG for $15 million to do that right-of-way across the top. And I think original budget was six.
Yep.
So it's pretty substantial. I don't know how likely they are to get, because that's most of the WACOG's funding for years.
Yeah. And we don't have any, at least as far as I know, and in speaking to Public Works, none of our major roadways, so Monroe or Mountain Road, we're really actively approaching the regional sources of funding for, because you have development potential surrounding each side of these pieces of roadway. So we're kind of in a wait and see. When development comes in, we're picking up Mountain Road in 100 or 1,000 foot sections of it at a time.
Okay.
Thank you for commenting. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Anything else, John? Mm-hmm. All right. Item 12.
I motion we adjourn.
Yeah, a motion and a second to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I don't even ask.
Go come look at it. It's like this thick, no good, raunchy, gooey, shitty shit all over my truck. Oh.